श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो दया करो मोरे, तुमा बिना के दयालु जगत संसारे। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो दया करो मोरे, तुमा बिना के दयालु जगत संसारे। पतित पावन हेतु तव अवतार, मोसम पतित प्रभु न पाइबे आर। हा हा प्रभु नित्यानंद प्रेमानंद सुखी, कृपा अवलोकन करो आमे बड़ दुखी। दया करो सीतापति अद्वैत गोसाई, तव कृपा बले पाए चैतन्य निताय। दया करो सीतापति अद्वैत गोसाई, तव कृपा बले पाए चैतन्य निताय। दया करो सीतापति अद्वैत गोसाई, तव कृपा बले पाए चैतन्य निताय। Thank you. स्वरूप सनातना रूप रघुनाथ भक्त जुग श्री जीव प्रभु लोकनाथ। दया करो श्री आचार्य प्रभो श्रीनिवास रामचंद्र संग मागे नरोत्तम दास। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो दया करो मोरे तुमा बिना के दयालु जगत संसारे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद श्रीला प्रभुपाद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివేకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శతశ్రీ శ్రీమతి జ్వాన్ గ్రేషుల అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి తండ్రి గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ ప్రభుపాదకి జయ, అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి జయ, సమవేత భక్త వృందకి జయ, ఆల్ గ్రేస్ అసెంబ్లీ ఓటీస్ హరే కృష్ణ, ఆల్ గ్రేస్ అసెంబ్లీ ఓటీస్ హరే కృష్ణ, ఆల్ గ్రేస్ అసెంబ్లీ ఓటీస్ హరే కృష్ణ, ఆల్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్రేస్ ప్రభుపాద.
Hare Krishna. So we have with us His Grace Mahabhagavat Prabhu. I'd like to give a brief intro of Prabhu. So His Grace Mahabhagavat Prabhu is a disciple of His Grace Shriman Shankarshandas Adhikari Prabhu. He belongs to Mumbai, from Mumbai, and lives right now in Toronto, Canada. He has been serving in ISKCON Toronto for last more than 10 years and is one of the pioneer leaders in ISKCON Toronto Temple. He has a background of electrical and electronics engineering and computer science. He dropped out of a PhD program in machine learning and computational linguistics because the books of Srila Prabhupada were far more satisfying and valuable to him than research papers in any field. He is currently a director in a software firm dealing with a security company situated in Los Angeles. He loves to distribute Srila Prabhupada books and leads book distribution team along throughout the year. On every Sunday festival, he walks up to new people in the temple and explains the importance of Bhagavad Gita and how it can help them. He's assisting his spiritual master, His Grace Shriman Shankarshandas Adhikari Prabhu, by managing a Google group with around 800 members enrolled in a systematic study of Srila Prabhupada books. He also serves the deities of Gaur Nithai at his home along with his good wife, His Grace Aruna Keshavi Devi Mataji, who is a disciple of His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu. So we'd like to welcome His Grace Mahabhagavat Prabhu and his good wife and his son to Radha Vrindavan Chandra Mandir by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Thank you very much. That was not true. Only some of the services were right, but it was a bit too much of an exaggeration. Sorry for that. So today is the appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya will speak very briefly because there is very limited time. He is glorified tremendously in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and chapters and chapters are full of the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya, how Sri Advaita Acharya is responsible for our deliverance by inviting Sri Krishna to appear, and how Sri Advaita Acharya is so completely focused on teaching pure bhakti, pure devotional service to Sri Krishna. And that's one of the reasons in the Chaitanya Charitamrita he is called Advaita Acharya, because he is Advaita for two reasons. One is, he is Advaita, he is a Swamsha expansion of Sri Krishna himself. He is a combined incarnation of Sri Mahavishnu and Sri Sadashiv. So, he is Advaita in that respect, but he is also Advaita in it that he does not deviate from pure devotional service, and he does not teach anything else other than pure devotional service. Therefore, he is Advaita, and he is the spiritual master of the entire universe, and therefore he is Acharya. So Advaita Acharya is an amazing personality, and he has very sweet interactions and dealings with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He considers Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his lord and master, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considers him as good as his father. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always trying to basically, you know, get the dust of the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya, but he's also blessing him with his mercy in different ways. And Sri Advaita Acharya is regarding himself as a servant of the servant of the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he sings that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita everywhere. So with his mercy, the Krishna consciousness movement on this planet began, and with his mercy it is continuing, and every day we just sang now, without your mercy we won't get Sri Chaitanya and Nithai. And so Sri Advaita Acharya is highly dear to everybody who is striving to practice Krishna consciousness. It's unfortunate that nobody actually outside there knows about Sri Advaita Acharya, but it's our duty to basically spread this. We'll read today from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is fourth canto, the 25th chapter, 30th verse, and we'll say this together, and then we'll continue with the purport and so on. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasa. Tato Jayamudiraye. Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. So, fourth canto, 25th chapter, verse number 30. Yadesha Mapanga Vikhanditendriyam. Savrida Bhava Smita Vibhramad Bhruva. Tvayopasrishto Bhagavan Mano Bhavaha. Prabhadate Thanugrahana Shobhane. Yadesha Mapanga Vikhanditendriyam. Savrida Bhava Smita Vibhramad Bhruva. Tvayopasrishto Bhagavan Mano Bhavaha. Prabhadate Thanugrahana Shobhane. Please chant. Yadesha Mapanga Vikhanditendriyam. Savrida Bhava Smita Vibhramad Bhruva. Tvayopasrishto Bhagavan Mano Bhavaha. Prabhadate Thanugrahana Shobhane. Yadesha Mapanga Vikhanditendriyam. Savrida Bhava Smita Vibhramad Bhruva. Tvayopasrishto Bhagavan Mano Bhavaha. Prabhadate Thanugrahana Shobhane. Matajis. One. Can you see it? The text? Yes? No? Somebody wants to chant. Okay, we'll continue. Word by word. Yat. Because. Eshaha. This. Ma. Me. Apanga. By your glances, vikhandita, agitated, indriyam, whose senses or mind, savrida, with shyness, bhava, affection, smita, smiling, vibhramat, bewildering, bhruva, with eyebrows, Tava Tvaya, by you, Upasrishtaha, being influenced, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Manah Bhavaha, Cupid, Prabhadate, is harassing, Atha, therefore, Anugrahana, be merciful, Shobhane, O very beautiful one. Let's also repeat the translation. Certainly, your glancing upon me today has very much agitated my mind. your smile, which is full of shyness, but at the same time lusty, is agitating the most powerful Cupid within me. Therefore, O most beautiful, I ask you to be merciful upon me. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Everyone has lusty desires within, and as soon as one is agitated by the movement of a beautiful woman's eyebrows, the Cupid within immediately throws his arrow at the heart. Thus, one is quickly conquered by the eyebrows of a beautiful woman. When one is agitated by lusty desires, his senses are attracted by all kinds of vishaya, enjoyable things like sound, touch, form, smell and taste. These attractive sense objects oblige one to come under the control of a woman. In this way, the conditional life of a living entity begins. Conditional life means being under the control of a woman, and certainly the living entity is always at the mercy of a woman or a man. Thus, living entities live in bondage to one another, and thus they continue this conditional material life, illusioned by Maya. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः. आई वॉज बॉर्न इन द डार्केस्ट ऑफ इग्नोरेंस. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. There are many here in the audience who are actually worthy of being my spiritual masters. I beg your blessings so that something of value can come out of the next 30 minutes. Thank you for giving me your time and attention. Your attention is the most valuable thing we can give, and I really appreciate your time. Srila Prabhupada writes in the translation that everyone has lusty desires within, and as soon as one is agitated by the objects of sense gratification, one comes under control. The context of this you have heard from very great Vaishnavas in the last few days, and you will hear by more great Vaishnavas in the coming days, is that Maharaj Prachina Barhi is very much addicted to performing karma kanda rituals, and he is doing all sorts of animal sacrifices and other rituals. And his sons, the Prachetas, have gone to the forest at his order, but Narad Muni has basically diverted their attention from fruitive activities to devotional service. They have also met the greatest Vaishnava there is, Lord Shiva, and they are busy practicing meditation under the water for 10,000 years. So that is happening, and Narad Muni is extremely compassionate upon the father of these Prachetas, these Brahmacharis. And Narad Muni has come into the court of Prachina Barhi, and he is asking them, why are you doing all this? And he is showing him in the sky all of the creatures that are waiting to take their revenge upon Prachina Barhi. And Prachina Barhi is also, even though he is such a great king, he is very humble. And when the spiritual master comes and chastises him, he says, I do not know what is to be done. You please explain to me. So he's a very ideal student that Narada Muni then wants to teach. And the Bhagavatam is extremely beautiful in it that there are all sorts of similes and allegories and all sorts of examples. And just simply reading a translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, one can appreciate that all other literatures pale in significance in terms of the depth and the complexity and the interplay of various emotions that are happening within the Bhagavatam and so on. And so this is a very elaborate allegory. And when you're making an allegorical story, you have to be extremely careful because it's easy to lose track of the plot. It's really hard. We see, I mean, if those of you who have read all these different fictional literatures, and those of you who might have even watched some movies, etc., you will see that after a little bit of time, you can actually begin to find flaws in the plot and say, hey, if this person was here, that couldn't have happened there, and so on. And you begin to find flaws. And these people have invested many years of their life in trying to make that one little allegory and one little story perfect. But we can easily find flaws after a little bit of time. And there are internet websites dedicated to all of this nonsense. But we find that Narad Muni's allegories are extremely perfect. And he keeps the plot 100% accurate. And another feature of an allegory is that it should not be easy to guess what he is going on about. You know? So the first time I read the Bhagavatam and I came to this section, I was so eager to find out who is this woman that Narad Muni is describing and what is going on here, and you know, and up until the very end, you know, I was speculating in my mind. I was thinking, maybe she's the mind, maybe she's the intelligence, because you know, these qualities such as mind and intelligence, they are compared often to women, you know, allegorically. But actually, it's the absolute most fundamental thing that has brought us into this material world. You know, and those are material desires. So the woman that we have heard described in the previous verses in different kinds of allegory, and is designed to basically capture the attention of the mind, is actually our material desires. But what we see in this particular verse is that even though the woman is attractive and is walking around basically without any protector and so on, and she is not actually approaching Puranjana, the king, the protagonist of this story. It's actually Puranjana who makes the first move, you know. So he is basically using flattering words, comparing this woman to Parvati Devi and Lakshmi Devi and then maybe a heavenly damsel, and then maybe saying, well, your feet are touching, so it doesn't look like you are one of them. Who are you? You know, he says, you know, he praises her in all kinds of different ways. And then he says, you know, oh, most beautiful, I ask you to be merciful upon me. You know, and Srila Prabhupada writes that, you know, he mentions the word Vishaya, the objects of sense gratification. And I had heard one devotee reciting a class that he heard where somebody asked, you know, why Maya is catching me like this? You know, why is she catching me like this? And this devotee got off the Vyasasan. He was giving the Bhagavatam class. He got off the Vyasasan. He went to the pillar, one of the pillars in the temple room. He grabbed the pillar and he says, Maya, chhod mujhe Maya, chhod de. And he's grabbing the pillar, you know. So it's like that actually the material desires are not grabbing us. We are grabbing the material desires. We are basically attracting the material desires to come to us. And we are asking the material desires to be merciful to us. So what Puranjana is saying, oh, most beautiful, please be merciful to me, you know, that is a prayer that is reserved for Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. It's not reserved from my material desires. So in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, as usual, every single concept is covered in a most basic and a most complete way in the Bhagavad Gita. So we have the famous verse, Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharasya Dehina Rasavarjam Rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Shri Krishna is saying that, well, you can restrict the senses from their enjoyment, right? But the taste for those enjoyments will remain inside the heart. And the only way you can uproot the taste for material sense gratification is if you develop a taste for Shri Krishna's lotus feet. And that is the purpose of the entire International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The entire process that Srila Prabhupada has given us, right from Mangalarti to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, or at least the attempt to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, anyways, for me. So this entire process, and then take only Krishna Prasad, associate with the devotees, you know, don't dress opulently, try your best to, you know, remain anonymous if possible. And all of these different aspects of life, and Srila Prabhupada has given us a code of how to, if you are a grihastha, how to be a grihastha, if you are a vanaprastha, how to be one, if you are a sannyasi, what to do, and so on. He has given us entire this entire path, and this entire institution that has been created as an educational institution, you know, it is practically speaking the only spiritual education institution in the entire world. And I would even, you know, I have not been to other planets in this lifetime, but I would hazard a guess and say in the entire universe, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is extremely unique. And what all of you have here in NVCC Pune and also the temple in camp is this amazing system. You know, when practicing devotional service in the material world is practically impossible. It's absolutely, you know, almost impossible. It's anybody who is even trying to practice devotional service is a great hero. You know, we should worship their lotus feet. Anybody who is even trying, maybe they can only attend one Mangalarti every year, maybe. But even, or maybe they can chant just one round or just three mantras. You know, when we distribute books, we ask them to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra with us. That might be the only time they've ever chanted the Mahamantra. But even those souls are worthy of, you know, worship at their lotus feet, because devotional service is impossible in the material world. There are so many people who even give us a donation just to get us rid from their doors, you know. Le, chal. You know, they do that. They don't want to chant. They don't want anything to do with us. They treat us like they know actually that we are coming here to finish up their material lives. They actually know that and they don't want it. So it happens all the time. You know, I'm busy, I'm fine. All those things happen. But what we have in these centers that Srila Prabhupada has established, and the disciples and the grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada are taking this further, you know, in such a beautiful, opulent fashion, it's impossible not to be attracted by Krishna. You know, the pujaris are working so hard to decorate Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra in such a beautiful way. Not that he needs decoration, he's beautiful as he is, but they just capture our attention. You know, the beautiful temple room where everywhere you look, if your mind is wandering when you're chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, you can't help but stay focused inside Krishna consciousness. And this entire atmosphere, I'm asking you to not take it for granted, because there are so many devotees all around the world who don't have even 1/100th of what you have here. You know, they don't even have any association. They don't have any training. You know, I've been to temples, centers in South America and other places where they don't actually know what happens during Mangalarti. They don't actually know how to perform Tulsi Puja. You know, there are places in the world where the Tulsi Puja is happening, but there is no Tulsi there. You know, there are places in the world where, you know, there is nobody in the entire temple, in the entire congregation who can hold a beat or a tune. So the kirtan is not, you know, as attractive as it can be, for example. You know, but still they are practicing. They're pushing on. You know, they're trying their best. So what we have here, and it's a great inspiration for me. I got here yesterday and just surrounded by the devotees and just feeling the vibrations. It's an incredible experience that you have here. So please don't take it for granted. And in fact, what you need to do is you need to absorb as much as possible and have NVCs in every town and village. You know, you need to construct these massive palatial buildings and go everywhere, every town and village, and expand this this impetus that we are getting here. So anyways, coming back, Srila Prabhupada makes many points in this purport. Such purports, when they are read in an immature stage of our development in spiritual life, can translate as hatred towards women, for example, right? And so, but actually this is not Srila Prabhupada's intent. And also, in the beginning years of my Krishna consciousness, at least 20 years ago, and all of these purports and similar writings of Srila Prabhupada actually got me confused in many different ways, especially because I was unfortunately taking instruction from those that we should not take instruction from. You know, the barking dogs on the internet. Stay away from them, please. They almost destroyed my spiritual life. You know, I almost did not join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I almost did not get initiated. I almost, you know, there were so many crises in faith that came because I was accepting instructions from those who are not worthy of accepting instructions from. Envious people, stay away from them. As soon as you hear them talking this stuff, shut and get out of there. But what we should be careful about is, it should not, and none of this knowledge should actually translate as hatred towards anything or anyone. No, not even towards ourselves. Because that sort of hatred is something that takes us away from spiritual life. And it gets us so entangled in the energy gets so heavily entangled in hating something or hating someone, or that it actually we're so focused on that hatred that we lose sight of the lotus feet of Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra. So the idea here is that this prayer is there, you know. You know, now let's read this. If we read this verse while we are looking at Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, there he is, okay? Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Is he visible right now or the curtain closed? Curtain is closed, but he's visible in our mind's eye. And there is Krishna all over in this room. So pick one, right, that you particularly appreciate and see this. Certainly, your glancing upon me today has very much agitated my mind. Okay? Radha Vrindavan Chandra, your glancing upon me has certainly very much agitated my mind. Your smile, which is full of shyness, Krishna is shy, right? You can't get a hold of him, he's very shy. Your smile, which is full of shyness, but at the same time lusty, Krishna wants us all back, no? Is agitating the most powerful Cupid within me. So I am developing, what is this? Tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam. Rupa Goswami says, tatra laulyam api mulyam ekalam, which is the only price that you can pay is intense greed. So, is agitating the most powerful Cupid within me. Therefore, oh most beautiful. Who is the most beautiful? There he is. Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra ki jai, Sri Gaurantaya ki jai, Sri Jagannath Balde Subhadra Devi ki jai. There he is. I ask you to be merciful upon me. So these are the words of Narad Muni, right? So whenever Narad Muni is mentioning anything, even if he might be mentioning an allegorical story, it's not fact, right? He's making up an allegory. In the words of Sri Narad Muni or any pure devotee, whatever they are saying, when you deeply analyze what they are saying, we understand that actually this is actually applying to Krishna. So I had this experience traveling with His Holiness Amal Bhakta Swami Maharaj, those who might have heard his beautiful narrations. You know, I had the privilege of traveling back with him from Toronto to Los Angeles. He was sitting next to me. And then he, in his youth, because he's born and brought up in the US, and he was a part of the Hollywood film industry before he joined the Hare Krishna movement. He has this appreciation for these songs, songs by Frank Sinatra, by, you know, all these amazing so-called materialistic singers, right? But when you see it from the vision of Amal Bhakta Swami, and he was singing these songs to me, and he had his earphones, and he was like, here, you have to listen to this. And he would give one earphone in my ear, and it would be, you know, a song that would go something like,
incredible and you are unforgettable.
You know, it would be a song like that, sung not in Krishna consciousness by whoever is singing it, but it was heard by the pure devotee and was passed to me in parampara by the pure devotee, and that nonsense materialistic stuff gets transformed. So in India, you know, living in India, you can't escape this stuff, you know. It's all over the Bollywood stuff, right? Like the moment you cross out of the temple compound, you know, you have this songs coming out. So this is a way for us, actually, like we transform this materialistic thing, you know, to a spiritual thing. And this, then the same thing, this exact same thing is becomes the cause of our coming closer to Krishna. And this is, in a sense, this is what Srila Prabhupada is teaching us. This is what our spiritual masters, all our spiritual masters across the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are teaching us. They're not trying to get us to renounce stuff. They're trying to get us to accept the whole world, actually, you know, and take the whole world as our family, the whole world as our, you know, so that's the verse. I'll stop here. If there are any questions, comments, reflections, or corrections, I would really appreciate them. Yes? No? There's no breakfast today. So if you're thinking about breakfast, forget about it. Zero.
We have a mic. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Vanishvu. Especially the, what I understand from your lecture, that connecting everything with the Lord. Even so beautifully connected this, that verse, and telling the essence, how our Acharya is telling to connect everything to the Lord. Like, although Prachina Maharishya telling to the, you know, Purinjan is telling to the ladies, but how you show us the, how to connect to the Lord. Thank you very much. So my question is that, even we are facing that problem at connecting everything to the Lord. So when we are away from the devotee association or with devotee association, we have difficulty to connect everything with Lord and devotees in the grateful manner. So how to overcome this disconnection or a problem of net connection in the proper Krishna conscious way?
Thank you. So actually, the moment you realize that you are disconnected, then that is a blessing from Krishna, no? The moment you realize that I'm not actually connected right now, then it's a great blessing. Because 50% of the problem, right? I mean, I don't work in the security industry, but 50% of the problem in any field is finding out what the problem is, no? Like, people go to the doctor, you know, the doctor's main job is diagnosis, right? Or people go to a troubleshooter, maybe an engineer. You know, the engineer comes in, scratches their head, and they figure out what is wrong first. Right? They have to find out what is wrong. And if that diagnosis of what is wrong, then nothing else works after that, right? They have to do that. So if you're an engineer, then you have to come in and reproduce the problem. You have to basically make sure that you know why this is happening, right? And the same thing with if you're stuck in a mathematical equation, or if you're stuck in some legal problem, like the skill of the professional is to know what is wrong. So the skill of the devotee is in knowing when I am disconnected. So the moment, and that is not my skill really, it's actually mercy, because Puranjan's friend is actually telling him certain things in the heart which he is ignoring. So he's telling me also, but I'm ignoring. So I think personally my practice is simply to be aware that I'm disconnected. Because if I'm disconnected, and if I have any kind of affection for Guru and Krishna, then I cannot bear to remain in disconnected. So then I have to, you know, get in somehow, you know. Often it happens in, especially in large communities, it happens that I take my, you know, devotee association for granted. You know, I wake up in the morning, you know, and somebody else in the shower before me, or taking too long or whatever, I might get upset with them.
right? Because he's in my way, right? But when I see that, well, look at him. He woke up 15 minutes before. He didn't set his alarm for the last, you know, last 15 minutes. So, just transforming that disgust into appreciation somehow and finding something to appreciate actually is great. Vaisheshika Prabhu, he says, what you appreciate, appreciates. You know what I mean? What it means is that whatever you appreciate grows in value. So, to yourself, because you are more aware of this. So, there are people who come in, right? There are people who come into the temple and they walk into the temple and they just walk straight to the altar of Radha Vrindavan Chandra, isn't it? They walk straight to the altar of Radha Vrindavan Chandra. If they come for about 10 times, then they will go to the right side to Jagannath and say, oh, this is the Jagannath from Puri. Oh, I don't have to go to Puri anymore. I just have to basically take a 2-minute walk or a 5-minute rickshaw ride or whatever that might be to get here, right? If they come another 5 or 6 times, then they understand about Gaur Nithai. And then after a few more times, then they will go to Srila Prabhupada. So the whole idea is their ability to appreciate Krishna and Krishna consciousness increases, isn't it? So it's the same thing for us. So if we find that we are stuck in a rut and we are disconnected, then it's a fact that we are actually taking everything for granted. Just the ability to chant, you know. One of my Shiksha Gurus in Toronto is Rupanuga Prabhu, a very senior disciple of Gopal Krishna Maharaj. He's the same age as Gopal Krishna Maharaj, physically. And he got initiated at least, I don't know, at least 25 years ago, maybe even more. But he always says that he has seen people who want to chant but cannot because they're on their deathbed. And there is no voice, there is no breath, there is no ability to chant. He's a graduate of the IIT also and amazing personality. We studied Bhagavad Gita with him for 4 years in his home. And that's how we actually learned something. So, what we appreciate, appreciates. So, if we appreciate that much, so find the problem and then appreciate the solution that is around us actually. Because if I'm having difficulty chanting, I open my eyes, there are 20 others deeply engrossed in the holy name. Does that help? Hare Krishna.
Can you share some inspirational incident or interaction where you are staying there? Like how you are inspired there to practice?
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Any like the place where you are staying?
In Toronto? Or in the guest house here?
No, there, in Toronto.
In Toronto? Well, it's a temple established by Srila Prabhupada himself. So there is one... one thing about Radha Kirchor Gopinath that is very special. And when Radha Kirchor, when the deities of Krishna came from India, the deities came and Srila Prabhupada was informed that the deities have arrived. And then when the deities arrived back then, you know, they were not polished. They were not yet fully polished. So the devotees got the opportunity to polish Sri Krishna's body. Can you imagine that? Like here, he comes ready-made now. You know, not much opportunity to polish and like have personal seva to the Lord. But there, the devotees are polishing. While they were polishing, they observed that Krishna has a little bit of a paunch, you know, tond. He has a little, tiny little paunch. Like he's not slim. He's a little bit chubby in his stomach area. So they reported this to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna is a little bit, they didn't know how to say it, little bit fat around the stomach area or something like that, they said. Oh. And Srila Prabhupada started laughing loudly and he was laughing, you know, and he says, that's because he's Radha Kirchor Gopinath. Offer him kheer every night. So that's how he named the deity, you know. So that's very sweet. And you won't see the tone unless you're a pujari and dressing the Lord. But that's a very sweet thing that is in Toronto. And yes, there are only 2 Radha Kirchor Gopinaths in the entire world. One is in Remuna and the other one is in Toronto. So, and this is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And kheer is offered to him every night, you know, and every morning. And the pujaris report all sorts of interesting experiences, which I cannot share right now. Does that help? Thank you. Is there anything else? We have like 2 minutes. Reflections. Too much familiarity with the devotees is a familiarity breeds contempt. So yes, it's very difficult. It's not easy at all. And it happens everywhere. It happens with people that we are together with. If someone is, you know, there's a reason why spiritual masters don't keep their disciples around for too long. Because if they do, the disciple will actually develop some sort of contempt, even for the spiritual master. So we have experiences of Srila Prabhupada traveling with his personal assistants, his personal servants, you know. None of the servants could actually last beyond a certain number of months. You know, it was really, really hard being next to Prabhupada because the familiarity comes in and then the service is not, like, the attention is not there. So that's why, for example, like even here, the pujaris, they don't do the like service continuously throughout the day. You know, there are some people who are great and who can do that, but most pujaris actually need a break from Krishna. You know, even from Krishna, people need a break. So people, it's easy to get careless. You know, I can forget to do achaman, or I can forget to offer my obeisances to the spiritual master coming in and out. You know, there have been all these incidences. You see Srila Prabhupada instructing his disciple, what is this? You know, the people come in, the spiritual master is there, they quickly, you know, do their obeisances in like less than a breath, you know, like that, you know, or it happens even in here. People are waving at each other and says, Prabhu, dandavats. This is not a dandavat, right? Dandavat means getting on the ground and doing dandavat, right? It reduces just down to this. So it happens. It's actually unavoidable. But if I have noticed that it is happening, then I should figure out how I can appreciate that person. Again, like there's only antidote to familiarity is appreciation. Even if I may not express that appreciation, even just feeling that appreciation and observing that person's sincerity and observing what that person is doing helps a lot. And there is no magic, but it's just a lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort to overcome that familiarity. But that familiarity also sometimes needs to be tolerated by the other party. It happens because it's known. It's known that when you're together with somebody, you're going to get familiar with them. Right. Just like Krishna and Arjuna. And Arjuna was very familiar with Krishna. You know, hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakheti. Right. Sakheti Matva. And so that happens. But when that familiarity is imbued with love, eventually that familiarity is imbued with lots of love, then that is not in any way offensive at all. So for example, Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends are extremely familiar. And they are like, if you go now, we're not going to let you play again tomorrow. So that is height of familiarity, right? You're telling the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that is imbued with so much love that there is no contempt there. It's familiarity, but there's a lot of love. There's a lot of, that familiarity is different. It's a lack of formality, but there is a lot of love. So, but that's a long way off for most of us. In the meantime, we can only practice. Try our best. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram.